I've had enough. I'm getting out to the city, the big, big city. I'll be a big noise with all the big boys. There's so much stuff I will own. And I will pray to a big God as I kneel in the big church. Big time. I'm on my way. I'm making it. I've got to make it show. So much larger than life. I'm going to watch it growing. And my heaven will be a big heaven. And I'll walk through the front door. These are lyrics from the 1986 song by Peter Gabriel called Big Time. And some of you might remember this rather dark satirical commentary on success and the American way of life that can constantly desires more and bigger, even in our religion. The song popped in my head as I read the first line of our gospel today when I was preparing. The one that says, as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." I guess the fascination with big and everything that size represents has been around for almost forever. Brilliant theologian Caroline Lewis said that the idolatry of grandeur is a perennial problem for us. We might even say that it is a constant crisis of the human condition. We can't seem to bypass that which pulls us toward what is not ours, what seems out of reach, what appears to be so much better than what we have, and even who we are. Look, what large holidays we have. Certainly, all of you have noticed the Christmas decorations and television ads that began way before Halloween, right? Retail season creep has spread well beyond the boundaries that used to be defined as the holidays, because the holidays are longer so that more money can be made. This week, you will literally be assaulted with every kind of medium vying for your attention to cars, toys, sales, sandals, beach vacations, every kiss begins with K, and so on and so on. And it will continue into a frenzy at a Walmart, just anywhere in the United States, where someone will get into a tug of war over the last Paw Patrol Ultimate Rescue fire truck with extendable 2-foot ladder. And this sad event will end up with a parent behind bars and a story on national news. I'd love to say that the retail world is the only place that you find idolatry of grandeur. But everywhere we see a desire to match glory with glory, even in the church. Sometimes we lose sight that God's kingdom is not a luxury vacation. It's less of a place for everyone and more like a changed reality, where wealth and status and bigness are obsolete, where servanthood is currency, where the first is last, the weakest is held high, where vulnerability is a divine power. So we often perceive greatness only as observable and measurable glory. We tend to glaze right over all the work that Jesus did to flip that idea of greatness upside down. Remember from the past few weeks, first is last, servant of all. And what we see as big is not just stuff or being successful, but also the shiny distractions that steal our eye away from the majesty of God's kingdom. A kingdom that is not measured by the same yardstick as our world. As Caroline Lewis says, we tend to miss the acts of might that don't measure up to the world's standards, but are every bit as lavish. And in doing so, we are in danger of passing over and passing by the cross itself. The why and the what of God's kingdom is very much behind the apocalyptic message and the rest of our gospel passage today. after the gobsmacked disciple emotes to Jesus about the impressive hugeness of the temple, the place that housed God for all Jews, Jesus launches into a stunning prediction that the big, beautiful temple will be destroyed, leveled. Not one of those awe-inspiring stones left standing. And if that is where God was believed to be, what did that mean for God? When the writer of Mark wrote this text, it is highly possible that the temple had already been destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And if so, it seems appropriate to share Jesus' prediction in this context, because many of Jesus' followers were Jews wrestling with what it meant to be Jewish and be a follower of Jesus. Still, culturally, Jews grew up with such a strong reverence for the building of the temple. The structure itself was almost like God himself. The restoration of the temple was key to every Jew. But Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is not contained in the sheltering walls of a building. In other words, so many have put their faith in a big place as a tangible and majestic representation of God, but it's only a shadow. The shift in the very reality of God is akin to all sorts of natural and man-made disasters that forever change the landscape of our realities and our environment. Jesus tells his disciples that God is in the world and lives in the big and the small. And this earth-shattering news will not settle with the powers of the world quietly. Before everyone can really be part of the new reality of God's kingdom, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Our fascination with grandeur has long been embedded in our humanity, even in our projection of God as an all-powerful deity doling out lightning bolt retribution for wayward followers. But to see God as big and impersonal is to miss the understanding of God and his desire to be in relationship with us. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah is waiting for the Lord to speak to him. And the passage goes, "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a still, small voice." That is God. That is God's kingdom. It is not something loud or big or that money can buy. It is not contained in a building or governed by humans. It is not something that we can take by force. It does not come in tanks or with guns. It starts in such a tiny form. It's new, and it spreads in hope. We may have it if we can truly hear it, but we have to turn down the big noise that often surrounds us. For if we do, we will hear God bringing in his glorious and mighty kingdom with a whisper. Amen.